Bless the Lord, man. Isn't it lovely?
Amen.
Hey, I love this, man. We know where we could be under the trees and worship together. Praise the Lord. I'm going to start off with a quiz. Please don't shout out the answer. Answer the questions quietly. Which country makes Panama hats? No, okay, hold it. Ecuador. That's the country that makes Panama hats. In which month do Russians celebrate the October Revolution? November. How long did the 100-year war last? You will say, that's easy. No, 116 years. From which animal do we get catgut? Catgut is the musical instruments, the strings for certain musical instruments. So from which animal do we get catgut? From dried intestines of sheep and horses. From which animal what is a camel's hairbrush made of? No, you don't. No. Squirrel fur. What was King George the VI's first name? Albert. What color is a purple finch? Red. Where are Chinese gooseberries from? New Zealand. One more then. How long did the 30-year war last? 30 years. Praise the Lord. Did anyone get all right? Did anyone get one right? Don't lie, you in church. Okay. Well done, Dwight. Old man Dwight. Our knowledge is very limited, isn't it? When we think we know something, we're often wrong. However, a lot is known about you and I. According to George Barna, he says in his book, The Frog in the Kettle, this is what he says. Organizations such as Donnelly Marketing can now make valuable detailed information about 85 million of 92 million households in America. Based upon combined databases and statistical modeling techniques, these systems can describe with great accuracy your television viewing patterns, your radio listening habits, your magazine and newspaper reading preferences, your product purchasing by brand, household demographics, and key attitudes and values. Do you know that? Isn't that scary? That people out there know so much about us, and we haven't seen the end of it. No doubt we are living in an age of exploding information and knowledge and change. The other day, Trab was telling me that they tested the system. They went on their phones and they Googled something. And the whole week after that, they were being fed with the same thing. Now, who knew that? Somebody knew that. All right? And with all this knowledge, friends, about you and I, those people out there don't even know a small fraction about us that someone else knows. And I'm talking about our all-knowing God. Amen? The word for that, as the North Americans say, omniscient God. But us who speak English the proper way, the Queen's English that is, we say omniscient God. Yes. Several years ago, in 2013, I preached a sermon on this topic, and when I was shaking hands at the door, somebody said, "You pronounced it wrong." The whole sermon, they were saying, they were just thinking about this, they missed the message. But okay, it doesn't matter. There's a North American way, and I'm a Canadian now, so it's all right. But God knows every nook and cranny of our lives. Do you agree, friends? Yes? Everything is subject to His scrutiny. Several years ago, Beth Midler came out with a beautiful song called From a Distance. In part of that song, she sings, "God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance." I always had mixed feelings about that song because I couldn't tell whether the emphasis was on the fact that God is watching us or on the fact that God isn't anywhere close. Do you see the difference? I think you were a little bit confused, but for certain, listen, God is certainly watching you. He's watching me. Isn't that something? You say, "Now, Keith, that's a little bit scary." And it's true. This morning, we are going to focus on God's omniscience. He is all-knowing. In classical theology, the doctrine of God's omniscience means that God knows all things past, present, and future, real and potential. He knows them all the same time. He knows about it all at the same time. He not only knows what was and what is, but He also knows what will be. On top of that, friends, He knows everything that could be but isn't. There are a few scriptures that I want to share. Just quickly, it's on your page and page 3. There's just a few scriptures that refer to this. 1 Samuel 2 verse 3. "The Lord is a God who knows." 1 John 3 verse 20. "God knows everything." Psalm 147 verse 5. "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." What about Proverbs 15 verse 3? "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." Friends, listen. God is perfect in knowledge. Somebody will ask you, "What was the sermon all about?" God is perfect in knowledge. He doesn't know one thing better than another thing. He knows all things equally. He never discovers anything. He is never surprised. He is never amazed. He never wonders about anything. He never seeks information or asks questions so that the answer can tell him what's happening. He never says, "Oops, I didn't see that coming." He never is surprised by what's happening in our lives. Why? He knows how everything fits together, and He is never wrong. Amen. Amen? During the last census, a mother was asked by the census taker how many children she had. She had a very large family, so she started to go through all her children. "Okay," she said, "let's see now. There's Billy, and there's Harry, and there's Martha," and the census taker got so impatient and annoyed with her, he said, "Never mind their names. Just give me the number." And she said, "Hang on now. They don't have numbers. they have names. And that is the way with our relationship with the Lord. You might be a number to the government of Canada, but with God, He knows your name. He knows your name. He knows you personally and individually by name. He knows everything about you. And one of my favorite verses is in 2 Timothy 2 verse 19. Listen what it says. You've got it in your papers too. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are His. Isn't that marvelous? Now, our text this morning, friends, is from Psalm 139. You can read it there along with me. O Lord, You have searched me and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely. O Lord, You hem me in, behind and before. You have Your hand, You have laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And I'm going to paraphrase what David is saying here. David is saying, God, You know me completely. You've made a detailed inquiry into my life. You know all my actions, all my words, all my thoughts. And not only do You know what I've done, but You know why I did it. You know it all, friend. I think most of us understand this truth about God. We really do. Now listen to this. This is going to hit home. And yet many of us are able to operate on two levels. While we understand intellectually that God knows everything about us, on a day-to-day level, we live as if we can keep a secret from Him. Isn't that true? Oh, you know that God knows everything. But we live as if we can keep a secret from Him. Maybe it's because we're afraid that if God knew everything about us, He would reject us and judge us. It's hard for us to comprehend a God who knows the truth about us and accepts us anyway. I want to just run through those verses. In Psalm 139 verse 1, David says God knows us because firstly, He searches us. Let's read that first line there. O Lord, You have searched me and You know me. The Hebrew word means to examine carefully and explore. What David is saying is that God knows him thoroughly because God has examined every detail of his life. And this is what I want to say also, friends, that God has carefully examined us as well. He knows us. And that leads me to my second point. He knows what we do. Let's look at verse 2a. You know when I sit and when I rise. God knows when we sit down and when we stand up. He knows when we flop onto the lazy boy couch. And He also knows when we get up to make a cup of tea. He knows that. And these opposites of sitting and standing and everything in between, He knows that also. He knows when we walk and run, or when we drive, or when we ride a bike. He knows all these things. Every action, He knows that about you, friends. I like how Proverbs 5 verse 21 says it. For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and He examines all his parts. God knows every move we make, which leads me to my third point. He knows what we think. You say, wait now. He knows what we think. Verse 2b says, you perceive my thoughts from afar. Oh, wait now, guys. It's amazing and difficult at the same time to understand. But God knows what we think even before we think it. God knows everything you're thinking, and He still loves you. Listen what God says in Jeremiah 17 verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. Leads me to my fourth point. God knows where we go. In verse 3, you discern my going out and my laying down. You are familiar with all my ways. The New American Standard Version of the Bible says, you scrutinize my path. God examines us thoroughly, and I mean thoroughly, friends. The word discern in this verse 3 means to sift. To sift. God knows where we go because He sees everything and He can discern everything. He sifts through our lives, understanding what is really going on. My fifth point. He knows what we say. He knows what we say. See, nobody heard, but He knows what we say. Verse 4 says, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Isn't that something? God not only hears everything we say, He knows what we're going to say before we even form the word in our mouths. You're saying, wait now, Keith, man. Someone has said, our thoughts are like words to God. He hears them and understands them completely as if we shouted them from the rooftop. Even before I speak a word, God knows what I'm going to say. It's like in marriage. You can never have an original statement. Because you start the sentence and you don't dare pause because your wife can take over and finish the sentence. Oh, husband, okay. Isn't that true? After knowing you for 10, 20, 30 years, our spouses know what's going to come next. Yeah. We don't have to wonder. We know. And friends, that's the way, but even more so with God. David says, before the word even reaches my tongue, you know those words, Lord. Thankfully, God isn't like this grandfather. There's a story of an elderly grandfather who was very wealthy. Because he was going deaf, he decided to buy a hearing aid. 2 weeks later, he stopped at the store where he bought the hearing aid and told the manager that he could now pick up every conversation quite easily, even in the next room. Your relatives must be very happy to know that you can hear so much better, said the manager. The old man said, I haven't told them yet. I just sit around listening, and you know what? I've changed my will twice. Aren't you glad God is not like that? God knows so much about us. You know that even in Matthew 10 verse 30, Jesus said, the very hairs on your head are numbered. That's amazing. Granted, for some of us, it's more amazing than others. For example, me and Harvey and Randy, it's not so amazing. Because we can count these. But friends, listen. God knows more about you than you want Him to know. Now, this sermon is not to fix us up. to sort us out. This is for us to realize how awesome our God is. Isn't that true, friends? This is here not to put us in our place and put us down. This is for us to see how mighty God is. He's an omniscient God. He's an all-knowing God. What an awesome God he is. I think of all the things I've said in my life that I wish I did not say. I sometimes say, how could I have said that? I'm sure you've never had that experience. But you know what, friends? Not once have I caught God by surprise. Eh? Not once did God turn to Jesus and say, I can't believe Keith said that. Why? Before the word hit my tongue, he already knew it. Isn't that true, friends? He knew what I was going to say even before I said it. But you too, you also, friends. He knows, number 6, what we need. Verse 5 says, you hem me in from behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. See there? From behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Friends, David is using some imagery of war. He knew about all about strategic battle plans, about ambushes, about how to surround a city. And David is feeling trapped by God's knowledge of his every thought, his every word, his every deed. He knew that God surrounded him, that he couldn't turn back and try to escape because God was behind him. He couldn't run ahead because God was in front of him. And he couldn't do anything because God's hand was upon him and protected him from all harm. Isn't that marvelous? A wonderful hymn comes to my mind. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus. Do you know there's a line in that song that says, Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I like another line in verse 3. It says, in his arms he'll take and shield us. Thou will find a solace there. In other words, God knows us and he loves us and he holds us close and he protects us. Isn't that marvelous, friends? He's not just sitting there and saying, what did you say? He's not all mad. He's awesome. We got to realize he's awesome, friends. We got to live in the light of that glory. We got to live in the light that we serve, not some inanimate object in the back of our yards. We serve a living God, and he knows you. You say, man, I don't deserve to be known. That he knows you, friends. The government calls me a number. He calls you by name. Isn't that marvelous? So it stands to reason that if God knows us intimately, that he will take care of us perfectly. God uses his knowledge of everything we do, we think, we say, everywhere we go to provide protection. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Friends, we are surrounded by God's protection. Behind and before, all the way around, we are covered. You know, God's love and protection is mentioned several times in the Bible. He had Israel's back as they fled Egypt. He had Gideon's back when he fought against the Midianites. He had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's back when they faced the fiery furnace. He had Daniel's back in the lion's den. He had David's back against Goliath, and he's got your back too. Amen? You say, man, you know, dear, sometimes I feel all alone and weak and miserable. Man, he's got you, man. He's protecting you from the back, from the front, over you, around you. Praise the Lord. Some of you are so excited now, you want to climb this tree. I was going to say dance on the ceiling, but there's no ceiling. Lastly, I love verse 6. David ponders the fact that God knows him completely, and he is amazed. Look at verse 6 in your thing. It says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Loosely put, verse 6, David is saying, such knowledge blows me away. I like how the New King James Version says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. I like Sharon's version that she likes the Message. This is too much. Too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Thinking about God's knowledge of you. Isn't that something, friends? David can't even begin to understand, much less describe the depth of God's personal knowledge of his every action, his every thought, his every trip, his every word, his every need. In Hebrew, in the original text, the word wonderful is placed at the beginning of the sentence for emphasis. It should read, wonderful is God's knowledge. It is too lofty for me to even understand or imagine. Friends, when we try to imagine the greatness of God's knowledge, we will become overwhelmed like David did. Remember this, wonder and worship are always the correct response to the glorious attributes of God. When we think about God's love, it takes our breath away. Wonder, awe. When we think about his faithfulness, when we think of his holiness, you find that wonder and worship are always the correct responses to the glorious attributes of God. Amazement should lead to awe, and awe should lead to adoration. You got it? The moment you realize, oh, this is God, should make you want to worship. Amen. And not only when you're in church or on Zoom in your living room, but listen, when you're cooking, you're worshiping. When you're riding your bike like Ross, you're worshiping. When you're going for walks, you're worshiping. When you're riding your horse like Randy and Gwen, they love to ride horses. You can worship the Lord, friends. Isn't that true? When Helen and I are driving to Edmonton, most times we are singing from here right till we get there. Worshiping. We don't decide, okay, now let us worship. It's just part of us, friends. Because we realize how awesome our God is. I didn't have it in your page. I should have put it in only afterwards I thought about it. Paul responded in a similar way, and I'll read it for you. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his parts beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. This is what Paul said. Friends, God knows us. He knows every thought we think even before we think it. He knows every action we do, even before we do it. He knows every word we say, even before we say it. He knows our need. He knows our emotions. He knows our motives. He knows our intentions. He knows our desires. He knows our every decision we face. He knows every trial we suffer. God knows it, friends. This is how awesome our Lord is. You're saying, man, I'm so excited. God knows everything. Now that can be comforting, or it could be disturbing depending on where, what we are doing. He's fully aware of everything we do. Nothing escapes him. I've heard a story about a farmer who went into his garden. He had a small patch of corn, and the corn hadn't done well that year. So he decided he was going to, listen, look at this, borrow the neighbor's corn. So he went with his son to go and borrow the neighbor's corn, who had really nice corn. With a large sack underneath his arm, he took his son to borrow this corn. He quietly went to the furthest corner of the field. He looked carefully to the right, then to the left, then ahead of him, then behind him. And as he was reaching out to get the first ear of corn, his son said, "Daddy, you forgot to look up." Isn't that true? I wonder how many times this week we forgot to look up. Friends, we may sneak around and try to hide things from each other. We can pretend, we can put on airs, we can put on a false front, we can say everything is just fine, we can fool one another, but we cannot fool God. Isn't that true, friends? You cannot fool God. He knows everything. Maybe the thought of God knowing your secret makes you a little bit uneasy. On the one hand, the fact that God knows all things is really scary, but on the other hand, it's very comforting. Why? Because He knows you. He knows your motives. He knows your heart. He knows every sincere effort we make to praise Him, to please Him, to glorify Him. He knows that too, friends. Isn't that marvelous? He doesn't just sit there, man, I'm going to get you. No. He loves us. He loves us, friends. Let me just say one more thing. We're going to close now. He also knows if you are His child or not. You say, "But Keith, I come to church." Wait. That's another thing. Right? He knows whether or not you have turned your life over to Him. He knows whether you have put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord. He knows those of us who might be incorrectly putting our faith and trust in our good works and being a good person, rather than putting our faith and trust in Jesus. He knows if you have accepted God's grace, His gift of grace and His gift of salvation. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9, you say, help me say that. "For it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not of works, so that no one can boast." Theologian J.I. Packer writes, I love this, "I am never out of God's mind. There is no moment when His eyes is off me, or His attention distracted from me. No moment when His care falters. There is tremendous relief in knowing that His love to me is utterly realistic, based at every point on prior knowledge of the worst about me, so that no discovery can disillusion Him about me in a way I so often am disillusioned about myself." God is never always just angry with you, friends. He knows everything, and yet you're still the apple of His eye. He still loves you to distraction. There's nothing you can do to make Him not know you. We know for certain that God is looking down on us in love. One of the things we can be sure of is this, that I am absolutely, positively loved by God. And what he tells us is this, I see you, I know you, and I love you. Say, what? Isn't that marvelous? So friends, while you are now convinced that God knows you, the important question is, do you know God? Yeah. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, I feel like Paul, you know, Lord, the champion of sinners, the chief, the best. And to hear that you know every detail of my life, because you are a all-knowing God, scares me, but helps me, Lord, to realize how awesome you are, that in spite of the fact that you know all things about me, you still love me, you still accept me. I pray that you would help us all, Lord, because we must admit there are times we are so hard on ourselves, we are so condemning of ourselves, we feel that we are not worthy, we feel so hopeless, and Satan just joins the bandwagon and he keeps us, putting us down. Lord, you have brought us here. You have predestined this function, this occasion, Lord God, where we will be together here on this farm, Lord. You knew we're going to be here, and you wanted to remind us that while you are all knowing, you are all loving. Bless each one here, Lord God. Thank you for the little children that are here today. What a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.